Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1 tonight, and we are going to look at a thought or a message that I've actually preached before. I don't know how long ago it was here at the church. I think it was years ago. I actually recall preaching this message here in the pulpit 1 year around New Year's, and if I were to guess, it was 2018, 2017, somewhere along those lines. But since then, I've preached at other times to youth and at different things that I've preached at, and I almost preached at the camp the other week, Brother Ricky. This is the message that I actually thought I would be preaching when I came to the camp. It's been on my heart for a couple weeks, and so today when Pastor called me, I was preparing to preach to the teens tonight, and I really was going in a different direction. But when Pastor called me and said he didn't think he would be here, and he asked me, would I be prepared to preach? And I said, sure. I thought I'll just preach what I was planning to preach to the teens. But as I began to think about that, I couldn't get any peace about it. And so I kind of went back to this message that I've preached before. And I found myself there. I find myself here often, okay? And so probably, I thought about it this afternoon, probably of all the messages that I've preached through the year since I've been preaching, I may have come back to this message more than any other. And I think there's a reason for that. Now, obviously, when I say the message, I mean this actual message, right? I've preached we always come back to the gospel, right? As a preacher, if we're preaching anything more often than the gospel, we're messing up, we're missing it. And so I don't mean the topic, so to speak. I'm talking about a message that I've preached before that I find myself when I'm digging through old sermon notes or looking at old messages and preachers or teachers or understand what I'm saying, this is the one that just always jumps back out at me, and I believe there's a reason for it. And so I want to kind of share a couple thoughts with you tonight. I don't really know actually how far or how deep I'll get into it. I just believe God wants me to preach it, and so I'm going to try to preach it. It was on my heart at the camp, and I didn't preach it, and so this opportunity came up, and so maybe somebody here tonight needs this message. I sure hope they do. And so I want to preach to you out of Joshua chapter number 1, and what I want to talk to you about is really just having victory. I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction into the message, though I don't think it even needs much of one on a Wednesday night in a church like this. But the children of Israel, before this time in the book of Joshua, have been wandering around in the wilderness, right? They are, you could say, they're very discontented, right? Dissatisfied, whatever you want to call it, distant, right, from where they're supposed to be. And it's because of their disbelief and their disobedience. And you say, you keep finding yourself there, Pastor David? Yeah. If I'm honest with you, I find myself often feeling as if I'm wandering in a wilderness. I just feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. Brother Brian used to say it this way, feel like you're ice skating up a mountain. You ever heard anybody say that? I've never heard that before. I've heard a lot of... Brian's got more slogans than Pepsi, man. I'm telling you. But he said it's like ice skating up a mountain. I remember he told me that one time. And I think sometimes that's what I feel like in my Christian life. And maybe it's just me. Maybe nobody else feels that way. But sometimes I just feel like I'm just ice skating up a mountain. I feel like I just can't go anywhere. I feel like I'm stuck in the mud. I feel like I'm wandering around in a wilderness. I feel like I'm coming by that same campfire that I already had been at. You know, that's where the children of Israel were. For 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness in a big circle. If you've got a map in your Bible, you could probably look in the back of your Bible, and some Bibles have a map of the wilderness journeys of the children of Israel, and they left out of Egypt, and if you look on a map, it's not a very far run from Egypt to Israel, to Canaan's land. But because of their disbelief and because of their disobedience, they made a big circle in the wilderness and did not make it into Canaan's land. Well, they eventually did, but you know the story. For 40 years, they wandered around out in that wilderness. Now, I'm not trying to preach the Bible out of context tonight. I do believe that there's that context. The book of Hebrews talks about in chapter 2 and chapter 3, and it talks about some of this, the journey into the children of Israel. I believe these things were written for our admonition, and I believe there's a lot of similarities between the children of Israel and the book of Joshua, of them going into the promised land to the victorious Christian life. Some people like to compare the book of Joshua and the book of Ephesians in the New Testament because it's the victorious Christian life. Now, some people will tell you Canaan's land is heaven. I don't believe it is, because there's not going to be any. We already sang about heaven, right? There's not going to be any enemies in heaven. Can I tell you there's enemies in Canaan's land? That I'm going to get to that in a minute. There's obstacles in Canaan's land. And so I don't believe that Canaan's land is heaven. I believe Canaan's land is a type or a picture of victory. It's a type or a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's the way that the Christian life is supposed to be lived. But if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves not living in victory. We'll find ourselves living in defeat, discouraged, right? Discontented, wandering around in a wilderness, feeling like we're ice skating up a mountain and wondering what is going on, what is wrong. And I don't know if I'm the only person that ever feels that way, but in my Christian life, if I'm honest with you, I just find myself in that place sometimes. I wish I could say I stayed in Canaan's land. I wish I could tell you that I'm always experiencing victory, but honestly, sometimes I'm not. And so I find myself when I'm looking through old sermons or looking through messages or kind of scrolling back through some stuff and trying to find something, I'll come across this message in my notes, and it always draws my attention. It always catches my attention because I always seem like I'm finding myself at that place again. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to talk to somebody that may be in that place. You may feel like you're in a wilderness. You may feel like you're spinning your wheels or like you're not going anywhere, like you're just stumbling or wandering around and you're defeated and you're dissatisfied and you're discontented in your Christian life and you wonder what's going on. I want to try to preach to you tonight, and I hope that I can help you. And I do want to say this before I get too far in the message. I think I wrote it down here. Maybe I didn't. But I'm not minimizing what God does in the wilderness, okay? I'm thankful that God will sustain us in the wilderness. I'm glad God will supply for us in the wilderness. I'm glad that God will shield us in the wilderness. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the children of Israel, when they needed food in the wilderness, you know what God did? He supplied food. Miraculously, he sent manna down from heaven. He sent those quail to come in and to feed the children of Israel. He shielded them from that hot summer sun. He put a pillar of cloud in the sky. He put a fire at night to give them some light. He didn't let their shoes wear out while they wandered around in that wilderness. He sustained them. He supplied for them. He shielded them from that desert sun. And so I'm not minimizing what God will do in the wilderness. I sure am glad that when I find myself in that place of discouragement and discontentment, and I find myself in that wilderness, I sure am glad that my God is still supplying, and my God is still sustaining, and my God is still shielding. God is still there even in the wilderness. Thank God for that. But I don't believe God wants me to stay in that wilderness. God's just so good that if I'm in the wilderness, he's made a promise when I got saved that he'd never leave me nor forsake me and that he would be with me always. And so that means if you want to wander around in that wilderness, David Oliver, I'm going to wander around with you in it, but you don't got to stay there. I'll protect you out there in that wilderness. I'll provide for you out there in that wilderness, but you don't have to stay out there in that wilderness. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. The first point I have is in Joshua chapter number 1, I see here an opportunity. An opportunity for change. Joshua chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead." Look at this, verse 2. "Now therefore, arise. Arise, Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I could keep reading, but we'll look at it in a moment. But I see here an opportunity for change. God says to Joshua, Joshua, here is an opportunity. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm saying Moses dying was an opportunity, but we know the story about Moses. We know the story about the children of Israel, how that God, they had sent the spies in to spy out the land and not the spies that they sent here. Y'all never forget Bible school. If y'all wasn't here, y'all missed it. When I told that boy he was wrong and he looked at me and he said, that's not what Brother Greg said. I was talking about the 10 were bad and 2 were good, and they were talking about Joshua sending the 2 spies in. And anyway, but Moses had sent the 12 spies in, and they went and spied out the land, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb came back, and they said, this is a piece of cake. They be as bread to us. That's literally what they said. I love it. The Bible says they said they be as bread for us. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, hey, Moses, this is a piece of cake. This ain't going to be no problem. We are well able to do this. But the people said, no, we can't do it. And so God said, well, you're going to wander around in this wilderness for 40 years until everybody over the age of 20 except Joshua and Caleb dies. And then we know the story about Moses, about him speaking to the rock and him smoting the rock. And God said, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. So now Moses has died, and evidently all those people over the age of 20 have died. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, here's an opportunity. Now's the time. You don't have to wander in this wilderness anymore, Joshua. You can get up, you can arise, you can go. You and these people can go into the land of promise, the land of victory, the land that y'all should have already been living in for 40 years. And so I'm here to say tonight to you, and really to me, maybe more to me than anybody, I could just be preaching to myself tonight. David, arise and go. You don't have to wander in this wilderness. You don't have to live in unbelief and disbelief. You don't have to live your life doubting God and what God can do. Get up and go forward and do what God said do. There's an opportunity for change. So if you're here tonight and you say, you know, I feel like I'm ice skating up a mountain. Y'all do understand what ice skating up a mountain would be like, right? That would be pretty difficult. That makes me think of that time I went skiing. I was ice skating down a mountain. Pastor Brandon taught me into going up past my ability. And I got up there, and I was coming down, and everything that I had learned in my lessons just went away. It's amazing how fear will do that, isn't it? I was doing great on the bunny slopes. Pizza, French fry. I had it going. I mean, I was a pro. Until Pastor Brandon talked me into going up to the tall mountain. And I got off that thing, and I was looking straight down, and I come off of there, and I was going, pizza, french fry. My mind was saying pizza, french fry. My body was saying, we're going to die. And I'm coming down that mountain, and I couldn't think. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll grab a tree. Man, that thing knocked me to the ground. About dislocated my shoulder. I mean, I hit the ground, and I thought, don't ever, if you're skiing, okay? If you're ever ice skating down a mountain, don't grab a tree. Fall. Slide, roll, stop, drop, and roll, right? Don't grab a tree, all right? I tried to grab a tree, and that thing spun me around, knocked me to the ground, and I was laying there, and Pastor Brandon and Tyler Cherry, the youth pastor at Granite, come over there and said, man, what's going on? I said, man, I am afraid, and I can't think straight, and I can't do this. And they was like, oh, you can do it. You've been doing it. I said, no, I can't do this. I said, what do I got to do? He said, well, you can always take a walk of shame. I said, what's that?
He said, take your skis off and walk down. I said, click, click. Ain't no shame in this game, right? I put the skis on my shoulder, and I slid down that mountain on my rear, right? But I was like, whatever, I'm afraid. That has nothing to do with my message except, could you imagine trying to ice skate up a mountain? I couldn't even ice skate down one, right? Much less ice skate up one, right? And so if you feel like you're trying to ice skate up a mountain tonight, you just feel like you just ain't getting nowhere, I'm telling you, hey, there's an opportunity here. Okay, God hasn't changed. The God of the God of Moses and the God of Joshua and the God of the children of Israel and the God of the Apostle Paul and the God of Daniel is your God. And you can get up tonight. You can arise. You can get out of that wilderness. You can stop wandering around in those same old campfires, wearing them same old shoes, eating that same old food, and thank God he'll feed you in the wilderness. But there's milk and honey, and there's clusters of grapes, and there's all kinds of goods over in the victorious land, in the land of Canaan. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, get up and go. Arise. There's an opportunity for change, and I'm just trying to encourage you tonight. There is an opportunity for change. We do not have to stay in that place of disbelief or that place of discontentment. I don't want to take much time here, but look at what Joshua says there is in that land. Look at verse number 2. He says, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give to them. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given unto you. Verse number 13, he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord hath given you rest and hath given you this land. If you read down through verses 1, really down to about verse number 16, in some way it almost mentions land, place, whithersoever thou goest. I mean, over and over it just keeps saying, hey, Joshua, get up, get up, get up. God has a better place for you. And so tonight, if you are in a place in your Christian life where you feel like you're just wandering around and you feel like you're not making no progress, I'm telling you, there's an opportunity for change. There's a place that God has for you, a place of victory that God has already given to you. He didn't say, Joshua, go get that land. He said, Joshua, I've already given you that land. If you read it, he says, that land is yours, Joshua. Just go get it. And God has a place for us as Christians. And God says, hey, get up and go get it. I've got a place of victory for you. And so he says, there's a place. Not only that, he says, I want to prosper you. Look at verse number 7. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm preaching the Bible. Verse number 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, look at it, prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, look at it, prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says, hey, I have a place of prosperity for you. Now, I'm not talking about material prosperity necessarily, though I do believe God will bless you materially. I'd say most of us have been blessed by God pretty well materially. But I don't know that that's the only prosperity that he's talking about here. He's saying, Joshua, if you'll get up and go into the land of victory, I'll prosper you. Whatever you do, it's going to work, Joshua. Everything you touch is going to turn to gold, Joshua. I'll prosper your family. I'll prosper your church. I'll prosper your ministry. I'll prosper your home. I'll prosper your work. I'm going to prosper you, Joshua. I'm going to take care of you, Joshua. If you go live in victory, Joshua, I have prosperity for you. Now, like I said, sometimes we view prosperity different than God does. But God says, Joshua, rise, go. I've got a place of victory. I've got a place of prosperity. Not only that, he says, I've got a place of peace. I love this one. Look at verse number 13. He says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you, look at it, rest. Verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also which possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. And Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the side Jordan toward the sun rising. He says, God says he's going to give you rest. He's going to give you peace. Can I ask you tonight, do you got peace? Do you have peace? I believe most of you do. I really do. I mean that. I believe most of you probably have peace. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through salvation. And you can have the peace of God. And Joshua, God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, arise. Get out of that wilderness. Get out of that place that you're in. I've got a place for you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you peace. I think about the New Testament. It says, peace that passeth all understanding. Do you got it tonight? Because if you don't, you can. God has peace. In a world that's got much turmoil, in a world that's got all kinds of craziness going on, the child of God can have peace. I've seen some of you, peace, lose a close family member and have peace. Walk through a dark valley, but have peace. Where do you think that comes from? That's God. That's God. Somebody that can, and I'm just going to say it, Brother Philip, somebody that can sing at their mother's funeral, that's peace. That comes from God. The world can't give you that. You can't buy that at the store. You can't get that on Amazon Prime Day. I shouldn't even have said that. Is it over yet? Oh, goodness. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even have mentioned that. Forgive me. You can't buy that stuff. God gives that when your little girl's in the hospital. Have an open heart surgery. You can have peace. God will give you that kind of peace. And there's somebody here tonight, you don't have no peace. And God's saying, hey, there's an opportunity for change. You can have peace. God says, I will take you to a place and I will prosper you and I will give you peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. He says, I'll prosper you. I'll give you peace. I'll protect you. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, Joshua, you go into this land and you don't have to worry about a thing because I'm going to go with you and I'm going to protect you. Brother Jimmy told me this afternoon when he got here. What'd you say, Brother Jimmy? He's what? My shield. Do you remember what you told me, the verse you quoted me? You don't even know. My rock, see, I didn't know. I said shield. My rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He'll protect you. He'll be your rock. He'll be your fortress. That fortress is for protection. He'll be your deliverer. He'll be your shield. He'll be your hiding place. The Bible talks about Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the under the arms of the Almighty, right? Under the shadow of the Almighty. God says, hey, I'll protect you, Joshua. And so he says, I'll prosper you. I've got a place for you. I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you peace. I'll give you protection. I'll give you possessions. I've already read that to you. Verse number 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest. Oh, no, verse 16. Verse number 15, he says, you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. He says, I'm going to take care of you. And so I'm moving on from this point, and I'm getting ready to finish, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, if you're here tonight and you feel like you're, I'm just going to say it again, ice skating up a mountain, you feel like you're stuck in the mud, you feel like you're just spinning your wheels and you can't get ahead, you feel like you're just wandering around in a wilderness and you keep finding yourself back at the same place, I'm telling you tonight there's an opportunity for change. God says, get up. Go forward, start believing. That's what he's going to tell them here in a minute. We'll see it in a minute. He says, obey the commands, right? Look at verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left,
that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You say, how am I going to have victory? Start obeying the commandments. There's an opportunity for change tonight. You say, how am I going to do it? Obey the commandments. Do what God says do. And God says, if you'll do what I said do, you don't turn to the right, you don't turn to the left, you just stay dead on with the Word of God and you just do what the Bible says do, God says you can't go wrong. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I know I have a hard time with it, but I just want to put it to the test. God, I'm just going to follow you. God, I'm just going to do what you say do, even if it doesn't make sense. You know what God told the children of Israel to do? Step in the Jordan River. We've seen some rivers here recently. Honestly, the rivers have been up, even around here. And the Jordan River at this time, many people believe that it was the high season for the Jordan River. It wasn't flowing, you know, softly. The Jordan River was flowing strongly. And God told Joshua, hey, I want you to go down there, get the Ark of the Covenant, prepare the men, and tell them that step in that river. But God, the river's going to sweep us away. Step in the river. God said, Joshua, I want you to walk around Jericho. Seven times, 7 days. Then I want you to walk around seven times, and I want you to shout. Did I just say that right? All y'all Bible scholars. I want you to shout, and I want you to blow the trumpet. And Joshua, the walls are going to fall down. God, that doesn't sound like a good battle plan. That's what Pastor was preaching Sunday night, right? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto your own understanding. If God says walk around the city seven times and shout, the best thing we can do is walk around the city seven times and shout. Obey the commands. I mean, I'll even go as far as if you read in Joshua, I think it's in chapter 6, I can't remember. But I think in chapter number 6, God tells Joshua to have all the men circumcised. They're in the middle of a battle, okay? I'm not going to go into great detail right here, but I'm just telling you, if I'm a general, that's not a good idea. I'm going to injure all my warriors. Getting ready to go to battle, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hurt every warrior I got. I'm going to wound them all. But if God says do it, I think sometimes God wants us to do it that way so that we know it's not us that's doing it, it's him. God wants us to know you're not the one that won that battle, Joshua. It's not your army that defeated Ai, Joshua. It's not your army that defeated Jericho, Joshua. It's me. And so we got to learn to obey the commands, right? And we got to, so we see the opportunity for change. We see obedience to the commands. We got to observe the challenges, I got a word wrote down here. We got obstacles to confront, right? There's obstacles in victory, okay? I already mentioned that, and I'm going to just mention it again. I'm not saying it's going to be smooth sailing if we obey God. If we get up and say, I want to get out of this wilderness, I'm tired of wandering around same old campfires, I'm tired of wearing the same old shoes, I'm tired of eating the same old food, and I'm ready to go into the land of victory, and I'm ready to have some peace, and I'm ready to have some prosperity, and I'm ready to see God do some mighty things. And God says, if you're going to do that, let me just warn you, there are going to be obstacles to confront. I mean, Moses is dead. That's an obstacle in itself. I think the biggest obstacle, I was thinking about this afternoon, I think the biggest obstacle that they may have been facing was the unknown. I don't know about you, but I can't stand the unknown. Some people like thrive off of it. They live for the unknown. I just kind of like to know what's going on. Right? I'll go with you, but I mean, come on, let me know how it's going to work out, right? Can I even just give me a little hint of where we're headed here, right?
And so the children of Israel, they're heading into a land. They don't know what's over there. They didn't have social media like we do today, okay? They couldn't get on Instagram and Twitter or Facebook and say, well, let's see how they're doing over there in Jericho, right? They don't have a clue what's over there on the other side of that river. The only thing they know is 40 years ago, they said it was giants that made them look like grasshoppers. And you know how stories get bigger and bigger? Can you imagine what it was like 40 years later? Man, you ain't gonna believe why we wandered around in this wilderness. It's because them jokers over there, they giants, man. Got dinosaurs for dogs. Right? Man, these people, you wouldn't even believe it. They're gonna kill us, right? I mean, they probably done exaggerated that story so much. Who knows what they thought was over there? But God said go over there, and so they had to go. But there's obstacles. There's going to be obstacles in the Christian life. If we live for God, if we live in victory, if we obey the commands of the Word of God, there's gonna be some obstacles that we're gonna have to confront. It's just the way it is. And we have to just remember God's gonna be there with us in those obstacles. And so there's obstacles that have to be confronted. We got to obey the commands. There's opportunity for change. And then last, and I'm going to finish here. I think this is the most important. Go to Joshua chapter number 5. I'm skipping a lot here. I'm going to finish up. I wanted to finish around this time. I think this is the key to it all. I have another point. There needs to be often cleansing. If you read through the book of Joshua, there's numerous times where God tells Joshua, tell them to sanctify themselves. Remember when Achan went in and he stole the Babylonian garment and he said, I saw and I took. And then God said, all right, Joshua, you're going to have to organize a cleansing here. You're going to have to get all the people together and we're going to have to deal with this sin. Because we're not going forward until this sin's dealt with. And can I tell you, if we're going to live in victory, there's going to have to be often cleansing. We have to obey the commands, and there's going to have to be often cleansing. We're going to have to wash, right? Our feet's going to get dirty in this world, and we're just going to have to clean up. And over and over in Joshua, they said, clean. God said, Joshua, clean up. We're getting ready to go to battle. Tell them to get ready. Clean up. But then last, this is the most important to me. Joshua chapter number 5, look at verse number 13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I love this. I just love this. This is one of my favorite couple verses of scripture. I mean, Joshua is a man of war, right? Bear with me about 3 minutes. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to be done here in about 3 minutes. Joshua is a man of war. Joshua has fought many battles. Joshua's out there near Jericho, scheming, seeing, sighting things out, spending some time with God, getting his plan together. And here comes this man. I'm going to say man. Please forgive me because I don't mean it that way. But he sees a man off in the distance, what he thinks is a man. And he says, hey, you for us or you for the enemy? I think Joshua's standing up. I might be wrong, and if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I'm picturing him like, you know, Doc Holliday, man. You know what I mean? Like, music. I can't do that little music, you know what I mean? That's in a Western, but and it's like, Joshua, that ain't how it goes. That's like, I don't know what movie that was in, but I'm like, who's good at sound effects? Somebody else will have to do that, right? The little whistle. There you go, right? Joshua's looking out, and that music's playing, and he's like, hey, you with us or you with them? Nay. If I'm Joshua right then, I'm getting concerned. I'm just like, all right, okay. All right, I see how that is. He said nay, right? Look at verse number 14. He said nay, like neither. Right? I'm not with them, and I'm not with you. It's not who am I with, it's who's with me. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's not important whose side I'm on, it's important who's on my side. Right? That's what he's saying here. He said, nay. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. My last point is this, obeisance to the captain. Obeisance, is that how you say it? Come on, obeisance, how do you say it? obeisance. What is up with me and mispronouncing words? I knew it just said, somebody walked in here tonight and said, so it's concupiscence. Is that right? Somebody help me out here. Obeisance? Obeisance. Depends on where you're from. Tomato, tomato, okay? Potato, potato, right? It matters, amen or amen, right? Or amen, right? Okay, so obeisance, right, to the captain. This is what he said. He said, hey, you need to worship God, right? Joshua, he said, Joshua, you want to win this victory? You want to win the battles? What you're going to have to learn to do is to bow down before me, Joshua. You're going to have to take your feet off. You're going to have to get on your knees, and you're going to have to realize who's in charge, Joshua. And it's not you. And if we're going to live in victory, I'm telling you, that is the pathway to victory. Obey the commands, often cleansing, and obey the captain. Right? Bow before him. Worship him. That's what it said Joshua did. He fell down and worshiped him. You know, if we'll just worship him, if we'll just fall down before him, and let him be the captain. Let him lead our lives. Let him call the shots. Everything is going to be okay. Opposition will be conquered. Chapter 6, opposition conquered. Chapter 8, opposition conquered. Chapter 11, opposition conquered. The end of the book of Joshua, all the opposition has been conquered. All of it. There's not nobody around that they haven't beat. Why? Because they followed God's formula for victory. And so I say to somebody tonight, arise. Get out of the wilderness and go into victory. That's where God wants us to be living. I'm going to ask the pianist to come tonight, and you can bow your heads. And Psalm 91:1, I got it here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What we need to do is just bow ourselves before God and say, God, you're the captain. Not me. God, I'm just a soldier. God, the battle's yours. The victory's yours. I just want to follow you. As you can stand to your feet tonight, and if God's spoken to your heart tonight, you feel free to come down to the altar. You don't have to.